We're recording.
Yes, we are.
Okay, so I'm gonna ask you if you have seen this new documentary on Netflix called The Social Dilemma.
I watched half of it and then I started to feel really bad and I turned it off.
I watched it this morning while I was getting ready to go to work.
Yeah.
And I was like, I need to get my life together. Need to get my life together.
So I found out really...
What is wrong with me?
Okay. So, well, first, I guess you should explain what it is about.
So The Social Dilemma is basically this documentary explaining how anyone who uses social media,
technology.
Google, technology, yeah. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, Google, we're not like the clients. We are like the product.
We're the product, yeah.
We are the product.
There was a great line in there that was like, if you're not paying for the service, you're the product.
Yeah. There was also a quote that said there are two types of work that describe their people or whatever as users,
mm-hmm.
and that's drug dealers and advertisers.
Yes.
And I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
So it scared the shit out of me because it's like Google's listening to you. YouTube is listening to
you.
Everything that's happening is not by accident. When you click on a video on YouTube, everything underneath it are suggested, then they want you to click on it and they want you to do all this stuff. I'm like, oh, God, I don't know what to do.
So there's that whole, like, you know how you're like, I swear my phone's listening to me
because
like it, you think of something and then it pops up. So it's not so much that, it's more so that they've got it down to a science that they can predict what you're going to...
It's the algorithm.
Yeah.
It's the algorithm.
Al Gore's rhythm.
It's insane. So, the last, like, literally the last 3 minutes, the people that they are interviewing are telling you what to do. So, they're like, turn off all the notifications on your phone.
Yeah.
Turn it off. If you're watching YouTube, do not click on the suggested video after it. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Move all, if you have to have social media on your phone, move them to like the last page so you don't see them. So they're not like right there on the homepage. Yeah. So I like, I cut off all notifications off my phone and my Facebook off, Instagram off, like off. The only thing that's still on my phone are like my credit card bills. So I know when to pay them.
Yeah, that's good.
Everything else is like off. Because I was being pinged like constantly throughout the day.
If you pick up your phone, when I pick up my phone, it buzzes. It's just like, hey, I feel that it's moved, so I'm going to notify you. It's like a fucking game or something.
It's so crazy. But... And it explained in the documentary how when we look at the news, fake news sells 6 times more than real news.
Yeah.
So this is causing a huge divide in our society where you have extreme left and you have extreme right and there's nothing in the middle. It's just going farther and farther and farther apart. We're seeing that in Graham right now.
Yes, I have a thought on that. But before we move off from the thing.
Yes.
So what I thought was super interesting about that documentary was I didn't see anyone from Netflix on it.
No. Like they, like no one interviewed someone from Netflix.
Yeah. So
well,
all
Netflix
the people,
does the same thing.
Yeah. Cause so what I saw, so they had people from Google, the people that designed like Gmail and someone that designed like stuff for Facebook and Pinterest and Twitter and the like infinite scroll and stuff like that.
The guy who designed the like button.
Yeah. So it's all these people and there's no one from Netflix and they're talking about how they get you to stay engaged. And it's like fucking Netflix created binge watching. Netflix has completely changed how you consume TV.
They do the same thing. They do this. They use an algorithm.
Yeah.
They know what you like to watch. That's why my Netflix page looks 100% different than my husband's Netflix page.
Oh, David gets upset if I watch something on his. So one time on YouTube, he curates all of his stuff.
Yeah.
I curate like my Instagram and that's really about it. But he curated his YouTube channel, which is great because it like introduces him to new music and stuff. And that's great. So one day I listened to like Ludacris for like hours just fucked it all up.
Messed it up. Just delete it and start anew.
Yeah. Oh, it was great. He was so
upset. Oh my God. But that, I mean, that was a
It's great.
Yeah. I want everyone listening to watch it. It's a little over an hour. It doesn't take that long.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
So talking about the divide thing, mm-hmm. I go on Reddit and, mm-hmm. So I was like, well, let me see what the Reddit Trump thread is like. Cause I view Reddit as, I don't know. I feel like intelligent people use Reddit.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, let's go to Reddit and see what their Trump thread's like. I would like an educated Trump supporter I don't want it to be dumb shit.
Yeah.
You know, all I see is dumb Trump shit.
Yeah.
It's fucking dumb Trump shit. They're talking shit about Reddit on Reddit.
Are they?
Yeah. They're like, Reddit's so dumb. And it's like, you're
Reddit. You're literally using the platform. Get out of my face.
Yeah.
Get out of my face.
It's the same stuff. And I'm like, I don't understand how you don't see. So I don't understand how they don't see the irony and just the hypocrisy, just the weirdness of it all. And but I did see something that was like, oh, it fucking makes sense, man. They, it posted something about how, higher education was all run by Democrats.
Higher education.
Yeah. And I was like, okay. So there's a whole group of Trumpsters that think that the Democrats are infiltrating like universities and any sort of like higher education is brainwashing by Democrats. So the smarter you are, if you're intelligent, you've got a PhD and you're saying something against them, then they discount it because you're just being brainwashed.
You're just brainwashed.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, okay. Okay, so discredit everything.
Yeah.
Because I went to college, I must be brainwashed.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, there's
fuck
no...
Fuck off.
I'm like, I don't understand how you don't see that as an issue. Like, if you...
That is such an issue.
Like, yeah.
I don't know. It's crazy, man. It's a good-ass documentary. Also, I don't know if you have seen... I've seen some posts lately before I watched the documentary when I was on Facebook. I saw some posts. There's a new documentary on Netflix called Cuties.
I've seen some stuff about that. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I know nothing about it. I just know that it's the internet's in an uproar about it.
I haven't watched the movie because I don't want to watch the movie because it made me feel like a creep for even watching a trailer of the movie. Uh-huh. Which are very, very young girls. I mean, they have to be under 13 years old. Mm-hmm. They're twerking. They're rubbing their vaginas. They're rubbing each other. They're like sticking their fingers in their mouth, like super sexual. So I think the whole premise of the movie is these girls got together and they form like a dance group.
Okay.
Which is cute. Wrong.
Well, no. So
wrong.
Yeah.
It is like, I was watching it like, oh my God, this is pedophilia.
So is that the point of it?
I don't know. And I wanted to watch it to find out. I'm like, okay, is this movie about
the sexualization of little girls in America?
Yeah.
Because that's what we do.
But I can't watch it now because I feel gross.
Yeah.
So if anyone's watched it and wants to email us what it's about, please do so.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can watch it.
Because
I don't know if I can watch
it. That's my question is like.
Maybe that's what it's about.
Because that's a huge problem and people don't realize it. People think it's fine to tell an 8-year-old little girl that you're going to make a man very happy one day.
Yeah.
It's like, that's fucked up. That's super fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm it's like, fucked up. Oh, your dad's going to have trouble with you when you get older. It's like, you're an old man and you just sexualized me.
Yeah. You like, got to know that's not okay.
They think it's a compliment.
I know, but it's not.
It's not. I remember when I tried out for cheerleading in 9th grade, they had us like down on all fours, like whipping our hair. Like we had a ponytail, we had to whip our hair. And I was like, this is a little sexual. So I was 13.
Yeah.
I was 12, 13. Yeah.
I cheered when I was in 8th grade because I wanted my second hole pierced. And that's a whole story. And then my mom made me try out. So I made the team and then we had a dance and I was in 8th grade. So I don't know how old you are in 8th grade.
Like 11 or 12. Yeah.
Yeah. You're fucking young as hell. And one of the moves in our thing was I had to lay down on the floor on my back, spread my legs wide open, and then a girl would come from behind me and do a front roll in between my legs. And I did it during halftime at a basketball game, and my mom had a shit fest. She was like, "You will not be spreading your legs in front of all these people." I didn't know. I was like, "Oh, yeah." I had no idea what I was doing. I mean, I just knew I was doing what my coach told me to do.
Yeah.
Oh, anyways, yeah. I don't want to watch it. Maybe I'll research about what the movie's about. But anyway, cuties. And I was like, "Oh,
well, or just tell us."
Well, that's great, because when I went on Netflix, that was the first thing that popped up. So I'm like, "Okay, Netflix, you think I like movies about pedophilia? Get out of here." Okay, what are you talking about today, Renee?
Well, that's for us to decide.
Okay. Well, after we decide that, I'm gonna do I'm gonna talk about Pazuzu Algarad. And it's a pretty intense case.
It is. And it's local-ish.
Yeah. So we're going to split it up into two parts. So this will be part one. I should have done this case in Halloween. That would have been cool. Would have been a cool Halloween case. But yeah. Anyway.
Well, all right. Who knows with our schedule, it might stay done.
Yeah, it might be.
Sorry. Light it up in Halloween.
Okay. Let's decide. What you got?
Yeah. Pick a number from, I'm not doing that thing. It's too much brain power for me right now.
Okay, pick a number.
Pick a number between 1 and 20.
16.
Okay. So we are going to do Starbucks.
Starbucks.
Yep.
Okay.
One quick note to update. It's not really an update, but the Palmetto cheese update is the NAACP has... called for the mayor to resign.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Barry. What's his name?
What was it? Brian.
Brian. I knew it started with a B.
Brian. Yeah. And also, I had a friend that was like, "I love pimento cheese. What's the best kind of pimento cheese?" And everyone was like, "Palmetto."
No.
And
so
I just like dropped a link that was like, "If you're over Palmetto, here's some other brands." And some other person was like, "Oh,
yeah.
Thank you for sharing, but that sucks."
Yeah, it does suck because it's actually good.
Yeah. It's like, it's, yeah.
All right. Let's talk about Starbucks. I don't go to Starbucks that much, honestly. I really don't. Do you?
No, I probably would go closer. What? That makes no sense.
You would go more if it was closer is what you meant. I know what you meant.
Or cheaper. Like,
yeah,
I like myself some coffee and like some lattes, but
I'm not a coffee connoisseur.
So I love coffee.
So I don't know anything about coffee.
I wish.
I'm moving my hands around as if I'm like real fancy because I'm talking about coffee. I don't know nothing about it. All I know is when I go to Starbucks, I get a grande caramel frappuccino because it tastes delicious.
Yeah.
But it's $5.
So, that's really not that bad of a
price.
$5.01.
It's really not that bad. I don't think it's that bad.
So I usually get like some sort of like latte with multiple extra shots. So I really like espresso. And that's not something that you can just get
at Food Lion.
No.
So espresso is like super duper concentrated coffee.
Yeah. Right? It's brewed under pressure.
Okay. It's got more caffeine. Is that what it is? Is that what gives you energy?
So. I don't know. David knows all these answers. I don't know about it. Yeah. It's really good.
Starbucks.
Something.
I've never had Dunkin' Donuts coffee.
Okay.
Not ever in my life.
So if you ever do get Dunkin' Donuts coffee, be aware that a regular coffee includes like 4 sugars and 3 creams. It is about the color of my skin.
Okay. So just.
And it
just
tastes like fucking Sugar Smacks. I don't know why. Do you remember that cereal?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. With the frog.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember Sugar Smacks. Isn't Dunkin' a big thing up north?
Yeah.
And Starbucks is more.
No, Starbucks is everywhere.
Starbucks is everywhere. But Dunkin' Donuts is really popular up north, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like New England.
Okay.
So it was funny. In Boston, there was like a Dunkin' Donuts, like two doors down from a Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh, really?
Was across the street from Starbucks.
So the two Dunkin' Donuts had to compete against the one Starbucks?
Just in that one block.
Just in that one block. That's
because
crazy.
The next block over, there was another Dunkin'.
Oh, Jesus Lord. Dunkin' must be good if you got one on every damn block.
There were three Dunkin' Donuts between where I went to school and where I worked, which was maybe a quarter of a mile.
Okay, well, okay.
So, yeah.
Well, apparently they were doing good because they were there.
And actually on campus, so.
Was there another Dunkin' Donuts?
There was another Dunkin' Donuts.
Let me guess. There's a Dunkin' Donuts.
So, yeah, there was two Dunkin' Donuts. I had options no matter where I went on Dunkin' Donuts.
Whoa. Yeah. All right. Okay.
So let's talk about Starbucks.
Let's talk about Starbucks. Yeah.
So the first Starbucks opened in Seattle, Washington on March 31st, 1971. So it was started by a couple dudes. They, I think one of them worked at an advertising agency. And so talking about the kind of the name Starbucks itself, they felt, this guy that worked at the advertising agency thought that words that started with ST were really powerful.
Okay.
So it was like, it's got to start with ST, whatever it is.
ST.
Like, maybe like Stetson and like, I'm trying to think of brands that, like companies that.
What else starts with
ST? Saint.
ST.
Saint Laurent. Oh, isn't that a thing?
Yeah, Saint Laurent, yeah.
Oh. I don't know either.
ST.
So from there, so they're in Washington, you know, it's fishing and stuff. And I don't know much about Washington State.
I ain't never been there.
So I imagine
it's like rainy.
Yeah, I'm thinking in my
head. The only reason I know that's because Twilight.
Yeah. Oh. I've never seen those.
It's in Washington.
That's a lie. I did see one of them in theaters. I was really sad and I went and saw it. So
they're
I don't
so
remember.
Good.
I just remember a bunch of like 45-year-old women.
They're so good.
Taylor Lautner like took off his shirt in the second one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of old ladies were just like, woo.
I mean.
And I was like, dude, that's a child on the screen.
Yeah, but he looked good.
We were just talking about sexualizing girls. We're just like, but that boy.
Well, he was over 18, wasn't he?
No, he was like 16 years old.
Oh, I did not know that. I did not know that.
He was a baby.
I was in college when I was watching that movie. Oopsie. Yeah.
Anyway. So in my mind, Washington is similar to Maine. Mm-hmm. And like this fishing.
Yeah.
Just like, I think they've got the fish market there that's pretty popular.
Yeah.
Seattle. I don't know.
So yeah.
Yeah, just rainy, cold, fishermen, gruff.
Pretty shitty.
Yeah.
Sorry if you live in Washington.
It sounds good to me. I like it. So they landed on Starbow. Yeah. And then that kind of like stuck, that made someone think about Moby Dick,
mm-hmm.
which I've never read. Sorry.
I've never read it either. Ishmael.
So there's a character, Starbuck. Damn it.
Starbuck in the book?
In the book, Moby Dick.
Okay.
So, yeah, they just kind of were like, Starbucks, let's do it. So that's how the name
Starbucks
comes from Moby Dick.
Okay, well, that's good to know because I never knew where that name come from. And it's kind of a weird name.
It really is when you think about it.
Starbucks. Star and Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The logo, since it's this kind of fishing Moby Dick, this whole thing.
The mermaid.
So it's a mermaid with two tails.
Two-tailed mermaid.
Two-tailed mermaid.
Now, why is that?
And it's actually a siren.
A two-tailed siren.
Yeah.
Did it say why it has two tails?
Yes.
Because it kind of looks like a lady with her legs spread wide open.
It does kind of. Yeah.
That's what I always see.
So it was from a 16th century Norse woodcut.
Okay.
Which was the two-tailed mermaid.
Two-tailed mermaid.
And so one of the founders, Terry Heckler, he was basically looked through all these old marine books,
mm-hmm.
because that was their theme.
Water.
Yeah. They're like, all right, let's lean into this. Lean into this.
Water.
So yeah, he went through all these books, found this image, was like, mm-hmm. I like that. That's going to be our logo. It's a siren she's pretty and she'll seduce you and all that. Oh, another
crazy ass woman.
Yeah.
Trying to just eat your soul.
Yes.
There we go.
So the original logo was just this brown ring, this coffee. With this two-tailed mermaid in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I kind of like their logo because it doesn't look like coffee at all. If you came from Mars,
yeah,
and you were dropped on the Earth and you saw a two-tailed mermaid, would you think coffee?
No.
I wouldn't think coffee. I think it's cool. I kind of like it.
Yeah.
I don't like it. It looks like her legs are spread open.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a siren. Like, I think that's kind of part of it.
Yeah, because like, she's a whore. Because women are whores.
I mean, if they're going to exist, they need to exist for sex. And that's the whole purpose.
I guess so.
So.
All right.
So that was 1971. And then in 1987, Starbucks merged with, I'm going to fuck this up, Ilgjornel.
It sounded like he just had a stroke. I'm not sure what that was. Ilgjornel.
Did you ever watch Twin Peaks?
No.
I sounded like I was talking backwards.
It did sound like you were talking backwards.
It's Italian. I don't know Italian. Do you see it?
Yeah. Ilgjornali. That sounds right to me.
Almost spell it. Ilgjornali.
Ilgjornali.
So this was an Italian coffee company. Mm-hmm. They merged with Starbucks.
Okay.
And then this is a quote from Howard Schultz, which I believe was a advertising person.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, to symbolize the melding of the two companies, I'm not going to say it again, and two cultures, Terry Heckler came up with the design that merged the two logos. They kept the Starbucks siren and with her starred crown and made her more contemporary. We dropped the tradition bound brown and changed Starbucks logo to the Italian company's more affirming green.
Yeah.
So here is that was the original Starbucks logo.
Oh.
And then the Italian one. And then how they.
Oh, it does look like a mesh of the two.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
So that's where the Starbucks green came from.
I like the green a lot better than that brown. That's for sure. That is cool. That is very cool.
Yeah.
I like it.
So,
but in that one on the right, I can tell it's two tails.
Yes.
But their logo now doesn't look like that.
No.
It's different.
It doesn't. They've changed it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So the Italian one, I'm going to describe it a little bit. It looks like it's got this man, elf guy. It's a profile, black and white, in the center of a green circle that says Ill at the top. Three stars coming down, and at the bottom of the circle, it's got Giorn whatever. And so they basically took the stars and the green and then this black and white image into the center of it for the Starbucks and just really modified the woman, made her symmetrical, and it almost looks like the Star Wars Rebel logo.
Yeah.
And then in 1992, the logo had another update. So this is when they went purely green. So they took out the black. And they keep on talking about like how green was for growth and all this stuff. And I don't know. I feel like so many times as designers, when you want to update a brand just because it needs updating.
Yeah.
You have to sell it to a client, so you have to give them all this bullshit thing like it's greens for growth and
honestly we just wanted to change the color.
Yeah. It's like really we just wanted to make it a one color instead of a two color. So
green and growth and shit.
Yeah.
There you go. That sounds good.
Yeah. Became green to purely quote inspire and nurture the human spirit.
inspire and nurture. Just green does that to all. That green color will do that all to you. Okay.
Yeah. And so they wanted to really highlight the siren.
Okay.
And so they cropped it.
They did crop it.
Yeah. To focus it. And they also wanted to get rid of the navel. They didn't like the navel.
Oh, they didn't like her belly button?
Yeah. Remember, do you remember that? I mean, I guess that's been a big issue in American culture.
Belly buttons?
The belly button.
Why?
Do you remember
the belly button?
I Dream of Jeannie. There was a whole controversy over I Dream of Jeannie's fucking belly button.
I don't remember that.
It's something to do with sex.
Well, of course. Sexual. I Dream of Jeannie, but weren't her tits out too?
Yeah, she had a whole like.
She had like a whole thing.
Thing, but like it had.
Boobs.
Yeah, but her pants.
Were low.
They were below her belly button, and it needed to be above her belly button.
It's just a freaking belly button, for God's sake. Right. Who cares about belly buttons?
So they're just weird and dirty.
All right, so they didn't want the siren's belly button to show.
Yeah.
So they cropped it.
They cropped it.
But I like it because her face more.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm sorry. In 1992, they still had the belly button. They cropped it just below the belly button.
Just below the navel. Okay. Yeah,
but she's still just holding up her two tails. Her
two tails.
So you couldn't really see the butt part of the tail,
mm-hmm.
which was good because it was a little weird. So the original was just like this nice split, like butt cheek. And then when they redid it, it became like a weird, like third butt cheek in there.
Oh, yeah. It's almost like it looks like legs, not tails, because it's like she's sitting on her ass mm-hmm. and she's holding her two legs.
Yeah.
When the original one that they had looks like two tails.
Yeah.
They put a third hump.
That's weird.
In between there, a little third hump. But may I say, the original one, I really like the original one.
Yeah, that line cut one.
The siren in the original one, because it, I don't know, I just like the way that the mermaid is, or the siren is. You could see her boobs.
Yeah.
It looks like a siren. It reminds me of a siren.
Yeah.
Now it's just like a mermaid.
Yeah. Yeah, so I guess we should say that the original one, you could see her boobs, and then the updated one, they put the waves to cover her boobs.
Yeah, her hair is covering up her boobs. Yeah.
And everything was just really wavy. So then the next update to the logo
mm-hmm.
was their 40th anniversary. So what the fuck is that math? 2001?
Mm. What, 1970?
2011. Yeah, 71.
Okay, 71 plus 40.
So 2011.
Okay, 2011.
I think. Whatever. You do the math at home.
Yeah.
So their 40th anniversary is when they actually pair their in-house design team with a New York-based creative company called Lippincott in 2011. It says it, yeah.
Lippincott?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So they do a redesign.
Okay.
And basically all they did was center it.
They centered it?
Yeah.
Is this when they cropped it even more? Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah. And they dropped the Starbucks.
Okay. It doesn't say Starbucks on it?
The current logo design, it doesn't say Starbucks. It doesn't need to anymore.
Everyone knows what it is.
I should probably look up that's where it was. And then they brought it to this.
Yeah. It's nicer. It's cleaner.
Yeah.
Feels better.
Yeah.
And it doesn't need to say Starbucks anymore. It definitely doesn't need to say coffee.
Yeah. Like it's well known now.
It is what it is.
Fuck, you just show like a white cup with a green circle on it. You know it's Starbucks.
Yeah. You don't even have to put the mermaid on it.
Yeah.
White and green on a coffee mug. Starbucks. Yeah.
So one of the big things that they did here was that her face. So they spent a lot of time on her face.
Okay.
Because your instinct as a designer is to make it symmetrical.
Right.
But this was the, and we can share this maybe, this is the work that they did on her face. They tried things out. So they made her totally symmetrical and she looked weird.
Okay.
So they were like, we got to put some life in there. They changed her eyes some. That looked weird. And so basically they found out if they just made everything a little bit off-centered and like lines longer on one side than the other.
Yeah.
It made her more human.
Because I think that in your human form, no, I don't know if there's a whole lot of people that's perfectly symmetrical.
No. And they talk about like that's supposed to be the standard of beauty.
Symmetry.
Yeah. But I actually think that's just bullshit. I think people are more attractive when they got weird ass features.
I know. And there are movies. There are a few. I saw this article one time where it showed pictures of movie stars who were like perfectly symmetrical. And I wish I could remember the name of the woman that was perfectly symmetrical. So I'm going back to The Office. They had this one episode where they put her picture up on the wall and they said, is she hot or not? And they have this like whole debate. And part of the debate was, of course she's hot because technically her face is perfectly symmetrical. So by laws of life, yes, she's hot.
Yeah.
Hilary Swank was who it was. That's who they had on the wall.
Okay.
So Hilary Swank's
face is perfectly symmetrical?
Apparently, that's what they said on The Office.
Okay.
I think it was Hilary Swank. Was it Hilary Swank? I don't know. I have to go back. I have to look.
Should I Google it?
But yeah, Google it. You know whose face is not perfectly symmetrical and it's like high key scary when you look at him one at a time?
Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford.
I fucking love it.
Harrison Ford. His face is like totally lopsided.
Yeah.
Go Google a picture of Harrison Ford. Cover up each side of his face one at a time. It will freak you out.
Yeah, it's like one side's happy and the other side's mad.
It will freak you out. It is hysterical.
Anyway, let's get back to my boring ass Starbucks story. So they updated it. They spent a lot of time on the face and they were like, hey, yeah, that looks good. It not Starbucks. Being symmetrical. It's Starbucks.
Starbucks!
It was my like throwaway. My throwaway one.
Starbucks. It's a good company. It's really popular.
Yeah. So Starbucks does a lot of good things.
Philanthropic things, right?
Yeah.
Am I thinking of Chick-fil-A? Are they a big Christian company?
No, they're just big human company.
Okay. Why was I think? Wasn't there like a big hullabaloo about Starbucks recently? Maybe I'm thinking about Chick-fil-A. I don't know why I'm thinking about that.
Starbucks has done some stuff with like Black Lives Matter. They did get into a lot of like shit because they had like called the cops onto black guys sitting in their
shop. Maybe that's what I was thinking about.
In response to that, they shut down all of their stores and did a implicit bias training across the
whole company.
Across the whole company, yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, they try. I mean, I feel like generally if you can spend your coffee money locally, do that.
Yeah. Go to your local little coffee shop.
Go to your press.
Yeah.
Go to press.
Yeah, go to press.
Because
don't go to McDonald's.
Yeah. Don't get coffee at McDonald's.
I do that.
You do.
Well, not coffee, because I don't really drink coffee that much. But I do get when I'll go to Starbucks and get the Grande Caramel Frappuccino, they have one at McDonald's that's better and cheaper. And yeah. It's good. It's really good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you don't care about coffee,
I don't give a shit about coffee.
Yeah.
I really don't care about coffee.
It's not about that. And honestly, if you care about coffee, you probably don't like Starbucks because they burn the shit out of their coffee.
Yeah. But Starbucks is, every time I drive by, freaking around the store.
It's amazing.
People freak out about that coffee. I don't get it.
I don't get it. It's a brand thing.
It's brand. It's branding. It's all branding.
It's ingrained in their clientele. Like that, like, there are people
like an addiction.
Yeah, they're like, hey, the new Starbucks, like, I guess Starbucks does, like,
the pumpkin spice in fall.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I gotta go get that pumpkin spice.
The whole fucking pumpkin spice thing is because of
Starbucks.
Goddamn Starbucks.
This whole, like, oh, chicks in the winter, white girl, Uggs, and a pumpkin spice latte.
Okay. Hey, guys, pumpkin spice, clove, cinnamon, allspice. They're available year round.
Yeah.
There's no pumpkin in that at all.
There's no pumpkin in the pumpkin spice?
No.
Oh.
It's just all the spices they use to like
make it taste like a pumpkin?
To spice a like any sort of like fall. They're warming spices.
It's like cinnamon. It's a fall spice.
Yeah. So yeah. There's a group of spices that are like warming spices that you put in like your It just like warms you up a little bit.
Yeah. Cinnamon.
Cinnamon. Yeah. Yeah. Like you put in your coffee and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's just all of those spices.
None of which are pumpkin.
No.
Newsflash.
Yeah.
Add another one pumpkin spice. No.
And it's like you could just literally just, you can get a little thing of McCormick's pumpkin spice. It's called pumpkin pie.
Get you that coffee at Food Lot and some pumpkin spice McCormick's and boom, pumpkin spice latte.
And you know what? At the grocery store, they also sell almond milk, soy milk.
Boom. You got it all.
Lactose free milk.
Yeah.
Whatever kind of milk you want. And you can buy all of those ingredients for as much as you pay for a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
And you can get like 20 cups of coffee.
Five. So if you go to Starbucks every day for a week, that's $25 if it's like $5 coffee.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
That's a
and it's only
money.
Like this much coffee.
It's not. Yeah. Yeah,
it's
not.
Only like a quarter of a cup of coffee.
It's not that much coffee. Yeah. All right. Coffee. Starbucks.
So yeah. And branding. It's crazy how branding. Like. Yeah. People will just, they're people like, are, I got to get my.
They're dedicated. Yeah. People are dedicated to the brands that they love.
I got to get my.
Which is
my,
the whole point of.
My new coffee mug.
Yeah.
They do like that. Christmas mugs or something like that, and people are like, I gotta go to Starbucks so I can get my new Christmas mug, this year's Christmas mug.
Someone's got a closet full of Christmas mugs from Starbucks from 1972.
But that shit's probably worth a lot of fucking money.
It probably is.
Do you have anything that you're very like, I need to get that? Well, so that's, yeah,
okay. My monsters.
Your monsters.
I love my monsters. It's yeah. Like my coffee. Drink one in the morning and one like in the afternoon, which is probably not good because I've heard monsters are like really bad for you, but I can't help it because I'm addicted to it.
Yeah.
I can't help it.
I've decided that I don't care what I put into my body anymore.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't either.
And, like, it's just.
Yeah. I love monsters so much. They're so good and they jack me up. And when I don't have a monster, they do jack me up. When I'm legit addicted to those because if I don't have one in a day, I get a horrible headache.
Yeah.
For two, I'm sluggish. Like I just feel like my energy is down. And as soon as I pop one of those delicious, yummy things in my down my gullet, I'm like myself again.
Yeah.
I need to detox myself off of caffeine for sure. I just don't want to right now. I just don't want to.
I tried to do that.
It sucks.
I've tried to do all those things. I'm just like, whatever. It doesn't do me any good except for making, I don't know. Maybe it, I tried to help my mental issues by like feeding bad food in my.
Well, my face. I do that too. I eat my emotions.
Yeah.
I had a bad day. I'm going to get a double cheeseburger. Makes me happy. Makes me happy. All right.
So.
Okay.
Tell me about murder.
I'm gonna tell you about some murder. So this story is a really crazy story.
Yeah.
I'm gonna tell you about it.
Tell me about it.
I'll tell you about this guy named Pazuzu Algarod. Okay, it's not his real name.
Yes.
But that's what he named himself.
So, Pazuzu, that's from something, right? Is it from the Bible?
No.
Okay.
Pazuzu is the, maybe. I don't really know. But okay. I do know that Pazuzu was the name of the demon in The Exorcist.
That's what it is. Okay.
I don't know if that's a real demon or made up demon, but that's where that came from. The Exorcist, which is one of the greatest movies, I feel like, of my lifetime. Not of my lifetime, but that I've ever seen in my lifetime. Okay. Which I want to do a podcast on The Exorcist, but like the shit that happened on set.
Yeah.
Like before and after. I think that'd be a cool podcast. Okay. Okay. So this story starts in the town of Clemens in North Carolina, which is not, it's like an hour away from us.
Yeah, it's like right outside of Winston-Salem.
It's right outside of Winston-Salem. One of our listeners, which is actually my really good friend, her name is Caroline, not Carolyn. She lives in Clemens now.
Okay.
So she's like right around the corner from old Pazuzu, or where he used to be. And she was actually one that was like, you got to do the Pazuzu Algaraz. So I was like, all right.
Yes.
So a lot of this information that I got came from a really kick-ass documentary.
Yes.
That's on Vice. And I don't remember the name of it.
The Devil.
Fuck. I wrote it down.
The Devil You Know?
Yes. The Devil You Know. It's on Viceland.
Yes.
Vice or Viceland. I think it's Viceland.
Viceland is the
sorry.
Network.
It's the network. Yes, the network. And it's really good. It's really, really good. So a lot of this is the way that they made that documentary was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So Clemens is like your typical North Carolina town. The towns that I've been to, it's your typical North Carolina town. It's steeped in rich history dating back to when the village was first settled in 1802 by Peter Clemens. This town is a church community. Everyone goes to church and everyone identifies with a church, which is pretty much how I grew up. When you first meet someone, they're like, oh, what church do you go to? So it's like, it's a thing. It's North Carolina. There's a church on every corner. All I would kinds say that. Of different churches. Yeah. Yeah. So
what type of Christian are you? Is the question. Exactly. It's super weird.
What's your denomination is what I get a lot. What's your denomination? Yeah. The people of this town believe in God, but you can't have God without the devil. And it seemed as though the devil himself lived right next door.
Dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun. I want to put like creepy music behind it. Yeah. So since mid 1900s.
That's like 1950s.
The 1950s.
But you saying what?
I put since mid 1900s, but Pazuzu was not born in the
1990s.
I think 1990s. I'm in 1990s. Like he really is a demon. He's like 1,000 years old. Okay.
So much wrong math.
I know. And that whole thing was just so wrong. Okay. Since the mid-1990s, around Clemens, everyone knew of a guy named John Lawson.
Okay.
Who named himself Pazuzu. Pazuzu did everything in his power to make his outward appearance so scary that people would turn away from him. Have you seen a picture of Pazuzu?
Yeah.
He is scary.
So full transparency, I have seen this documentary.
Yeah.
And my derby wife... She is a writer for Yes Weekly.
Okay.
She got super interested in this case because it was local.
We should interview her.
Well, so she reached out and she was like, who do I know that, like, does anyone know this guy?
Yeah.
And one of the girls from Derby went to high school with him.
Wow. Maybe we should get her on.
Yeah.
That would be cool. I know, because I have family that live like right around this place.
Yeah.
I know. And they're like the same age as he was.
Yeah.
So I feel like I know someone that knows Pazuzu. So, I swear I do.
Watching the documentary is just like playing in my mind like a friend of mine's older brother. Like it's just, it seems so like, I remember there was, so the 90s, it was a weird time and goth was really big. So it was just like, people would, you would just see these older guys that like lived in trailers and they were just super weird and like gothy.
You knew older guys that lived in trailers?
Yeah.
Well, when you were in high school?
Middle school.
Goth guys, gothy older guys?
Middle school and elementary school. They rode the bus.
No, we had a lot. Goth was a big thing when I was in high school. That was when it became like really a thing. And we had like a clique at school. It was the goth clique. And they all dressed in the like bondage pants and colorful hair and the fishnets on the hands kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was when I was in high school too. But there was like in that late 90s where like grunge kind of like mixed. Marilyn Manson kind of goth. And then it went into like pop goth.
Then it went into like punk.
Yeah.
Punky goth, like Avril Lavigne or something.
Oh, God.
He was a skateboarder. I bet Pazuzu listened to Avril Lavigne all the time.
Do you know the conspiracy theory around Avril Lavigne?
No.
That she's dead. That she died and like some like super fan.
No, she just came out with a song with Nicki Minaj.
That a super fan took. Cause remember, she used to be like super kind of punk skater and then she got really poppy.
Yeah.
There's a theory that she died and a fan named Michelle or something like that took her place.
Okay.
And that's why she looks so, like, that's why she changed her look and kind of changed direction.
I think her agent just said, this shit ain't working no more. You gotta change your look. Or she could have died. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it's also like, was it Paul McCartney's dead?
Huh?
There's that same conspiracy theory about Paul McCartney dying.
He is dead.
No, he's still.
Alive. Which one of the Beatles died? One of them's
There's
dead.
A couple of them that died. John Lennon died.
John Lennon! That's who I'm. That's
and what I was George about. Harrison died.
I don't know the Beatles. Okay. So pretty much he did everything that he could to make himself look scary so that people would turn away from him. And he wanted people to have a negative reaction when they looked at him.
Like,
Yeah, like, oh, God. So he tattooed his face. He filed his teeth with a Dremel tool into points to himself. Ooh. And he claimed to sacrifice animals and also claimed that he could control the weather.
What the fuck? Okay.
He can make it rain. So he became Clemens' very own. The lights just went dim for a second. The lights just went dim.
It's Pazuzu.
Sorry, Pazuzu. Okay. He became Clemens' very own son of depravity, and he was able to congregate a group of like-minded individuals into his own circle of darkness. So he kind of reminded me of like...
Cult leader.
A cult. Yeah, he was a cult leader. It's like this weird guy, and he got other weird people into his like weird group. So part of the reason why everyone knew of Pazuzu and his infamy is because North Carolina is in the Bible Belt. And Pazuzu was the center. He was in the center of all these Christians, you know?
Yeah.
So if you got one crazy guy saying he's the devil around all these Christians, you're going to get noticed.
Yeah. Well, also, old church ladies talk.
Oh, yeah. They're like the nosiest people ever. So it was said in the documentary that Pazuzu had a really sort of like charismatic personality, which is what attracted like all these young people toward him. And I don't know, I guess it's just like when you think about cults, you think of they attract people who don't feel like they have friends.
Exactly. Yeah.
They don't feel like they have that family and they're looking for something. And here's this guy who's saying, I'll do that for you.
Well, it's like the KKK. One of the reasons why the KKK gets members isn't because people hate other people. It's because they give them a solution to their problem.
Yeah. When I was in college, I remember walking to class.
Uh-huh.
And it was at the beginning of the school year. And that's when all the sororities would be out. And they'd be handing out flyers. Like, join our sorority. Join our sorority. Which, by the way, I walked by one. And they looked at me and they did not give me a flyer. And then they gave the girl behind me a flyer. And I'm like, you bitches. I mean, I wouldn't have done it anyway. But my dad, I talked to my dad about it. And he was like, he said, do not join a sorority. Those are nothing but cults. And I was like, okay, but they kind of are.
They totally are.
It's a cult.
I mean, it's like... Even up to like people are like 86 years old being like, I'm a part of this fraternity. And it's like, dude, that was like 4 years of your life.
Yeah.
These people are not that impressive. Whatever you've got going on isn't that impressive. How about you do the work yourself?
Yeah. I mean, I know some sororities and fraternities are pretty cool, but the white ones at my school sucked.
Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah. No. So, yeah, I will say like, I really like STEP teams.
Yeah, they're awesome.
And I think that's what...
the white sororities did nothing but get drunk and sleep with guys. Like, no, I could do that on my own. Thanks. Yeah. I don't need to, like, pay for friends.
Yeah.
They don't want me in their sorority anyway, so fuck them. Okay, so People would go to Pazuzu's house because it was free reign. They could literally do whatever they wanted to do. There were no rules and nothing you had to abide by. So to understand what was happening in his house, I'm going to read you a letter that was taped to his front door.
Okay.
So it says, "No gang members allowed. Anyone that dresses the same, wears the same badge, and call themselves the authority of a land they did not create, they only seized through terrorism, has no permission to entertain this land. Unless you are a native, since this is their land. Since this is the First Amendment of your fake laws, for we see you are guilty until proven innocent. If you can make laws, so can we. So be it. Evil will triumph." Nope, thanks. I'll go next door.
Yeah, there's a lot there. So, did he live by himself?
He lived with his mother.
His mom let him put that up on the...
We're going to get into that.
Okay.
We're going to get into that. Yeah. All this stuff that I'm about to tell you that's going on in this house, you have to remember his mom lived in the house with him. I don't know what was wrong with her. I think maybe she had some kind of issues too.
Yeah.
Because she just did not address anything. She just closed her eyes to everything. And it...
Wow.
I just don't understand why. So we're going to go on a field trip.
Is it because she's a good Christian lady?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe. We're going to go on a field trip.
Okay.
We're going to go into Pazuzu's house.
Okay. Take me.
Okay. When you open the dilapidated door, you are greeted with a waft of urine and rotting matter that hits you right in the face. The sound of black metal death blaring at all hours of the day and night. In the corner, there are young adults fist fighting until they bleed, glass crashing on the floor, and young women and men so drunk they would defecate in the corner.
Ooh.
Your deepest, innermost sexual desires could be acted out in this house, with orgies happening, with Pazuzu being the master manipulator. This house was free reign, a madhouse of darkness that you can act out your sickest fantasies with zero judgment. So literally in the documentary, it said parties all the time. You would walk in and there would be human poo on the floor.
Yeah.
Like the images that it showed of his house were disgusting.
Yeah.
Disgusting. I mean, it looked like a hoarder's house, but just trash.
Yeah.
Just disgusting trash. And like it smelled. The neighbors could, it was so strong, the neighbors could smell it.
Yeah.
It was disgusting.
So I think, so growing up, there was a house that was like that. Like when I was, well, not like that, but there was like that party house.
Oh, yeah. The party house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go on Colonial Street and there you go. But it was never dirty like that.
Oh, my gosh. Y'all just have to look at pictures of the inside of this guy's house. It was crazy. And the mom was there. She had a room. And she just stayed in that room.
I wonder what her room was like.
How she lived in that, I'll never know.
Like, it almost sounds like she was prisoner to her own son.
Yeah, I think she was a little bit. And it was said that Pazuzu, he liked the dirt and the filth. And that he thought it gave him power. He only took a bath once a year.
Ah!
And he never brushed his teeth because he claimed it stripped the body of his defenses in warding off infection and illness. That was his logic of not taking a shower, not brushing his teeth.
I mean, okay. I do think as a society, we do like bathe too much.
Mm-hmm.
But that's way extreme.
Yeah, once a year.
Yeah. Like, I just don't think people need a shower every day.
Do you know how bad I smell if I go, like, 2 or 3 days without washing my ass?
Yeah.
I stink and my armpits stink.
Ooh. Oh, God, yeah.
my pants. I have to wear that extra strength deodorant.
Well, also, it's...
I can't.
Deodorant makes it worse. So, I mean, there's that. But, yeah, I just... Ugh. Also, he's a man.
He's a man.
And, like...
Men stink. Ask a boy smell.
Men are also super hairy.
Oh, God.
And so pooping.
No. Just poo. 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 Ew. Everywhere. Poo in the house. Poo
and
everywhere.
Sex.
They were having sex. Just think about like sex. Having sex rolling around in the floor with like shit everywhere.
Sex already has a
smell. Like, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. I can't. We got to. I'm on my gag. Let me take a deep breath. Okay. So Pazuzu had a lot of women followers.
What the fuck?
Like he was straight.
So he did a lot to his face.
I'm saying maybe he's got a big penis.
No, I wasn't, but you know, probably did have his
I'm just kidding
penis pierced, at least I imagine. Sure.
Yeah, Prince Albert.
No, I was gonna say, was he attractive?
No, okay. No, not at all.
Like taking away,
nope,
all okay,
nope, not even a little bit.
Okay.
Not even a little bit. But he got a lot of women around him, and he had sex with a lot of women, and he controlled a lot of women. Why? How does that happen? One in particular, her name was Amber, and she was also known as Bubbles. So you see a lot of times when people join a cult, the cult leader likes to change their name because it kind of strips them of their identity. So this girl's name is Bubbles. And we're going to talk a little bit about her right now. So Amber, aka Bubbles, her best friend in high school was a girl named Katie Wagner. And she said it was though Amber changed overnight after she met Pazuzu. She shaved her eyebrows off. She stopped showering. And then she also filed her teeth to points so that she could bite into the flesh of animals.
What animals is she biting into the flesh of?
Like, so, you know, like squirrels and rabbits and shit. I don't know. But yeah, Amber was like, she met this guy and it was like an instant change. Stopped bathing.
Yeah. I feel like...
Red flag. Bouquet of red flags. So Amber would call Katie.
That would be a nice design.
A bouquet of red flags. That would be a cool design. Amber would call Katie and tell her about this really awesome guy that she just met, and they were doing rituals with each other, and they would drink the blood of animals and cut each other open and drink each other's blood. If my best friend called me and said, I met this guy and I just drank his blood, I would be like, bitch, what are you doing? For one, diseases.
Yeah.
That's not great.
I mean, I love you, but no.
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 What is happening?
Nobody would get me to drink their blood.
No.
I mean, if someone was like, you could save this life if you drank this person's blood, I would consider it. But it would be like, no, not for recreational.
No. And I just don't understand. So Amber eventually invited Katie, her friend, to meet Pazuzu. Come meet my new boyfriend. So Amber came, picked her up.
I was going to ask, would you? But I know that answer.
Would I meet Pazuzu?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to see who's sucking my friend's blood. Yeah. So Amber came and picked her up. They drove over to his house and Katie stepped onto the front porch. And she said the first thing she remembers is the horrific smell coming out of the house. Like, I feel like I can smell it right now. And my eyes are watering a little bit.
So that's a big fear of mine, is that my house smells.
Your house doesn't.
I've always had that fear.
Well, everyone's like, house has a smell.
Yeah.
But it doesn't smell bad.
Yeah.
Does my house have a smell? Does it smell bad?
No, but you did give me the button maker.
Yeah.
And I was like.
Did it stink?
No. I opened it up and I was like, oh, this must be what Sarah's house smells like. And I was like,
buttons.
It smells so good.
Okay, well, that's good. Okay. Yeah. So the first thing she remembered was the disgusting smell. And the first thing Katie said to Pazuzu was, dude, your house smells like death. Which, kudos for her, because if a guy walked up to me that looked like this cat.
Yeah.
And I was just like, dude, your house fucking stinks.
Yeah.
Way to go. And his response was, duh, I have bodies in my basement. Foreshadowing.
Yes. Yeah, because I feel like if someone said that, I would just be like, haha.
Yeah, you wouldn't. Your brain doesn't first go to, there probably are bodies in his basement.
Yeah.
Because our brains don't think that way.
No.
So some people have made connections between Pazuzu and Charles Manson, where they both had really uncanny abilities to bring people around that were broken and implant something into their mind that they were able to control. So, cult, Mm-hmm. I wish I could do that with my husband.
Yeah.
Can I like implant something in his brain to like do stuff for me? But the way Pazuzu controlled, I think like the way Charles Manson controlled was through like drugs and feeling good and like, you know, this thing where Pazuzu's main thing he controlled with was fear. Like people were just scared of him.
Led with fear.
Yeah. Led with fear. There you go. This is where we're going to talk about one of his victims.
Okay.
Okay. Whose name was John Wetzler. So John Wetzler had a love. I don't know what I'm saying.
In a very large penis.
A very large penis. I don't know. Maybe he did. I don't know. John Wetzler had a love of life.
Okay.
A strong commitment to right and wrong. Stacy Carter, who was they interviewed in the documentary. Mm-hmm. She seems like a very sweet girl. Stacy Carter and John Wetzler met and fell in love, had a baby boy named Jared. And they both had an extreme passion for animals, specifically horses. So their dream was to own a horse farm. They wanted to own a horse farm and like rehabilitate horses was their thing.
Okay.
So in 2007, several months after working on the farm that they bought, they became behind in their mortgages, which sucks.
Yeah.
And they lost their farm in 2008, which is a bummer.
But also 2008. And that's when the market crashed.
Yes. So they were, they were going through a lot of stuff. So during the foreclosure process on their farm, that's when their marriage started to like really kind of become kind of rocky. And Josh moved into a trailer while Stacy, she kept working on another farm.
Okay.
So she was working. Josh moves out. Marriage sucks.
Life happens.
Yeah. So Josh felt like he was failing in life. He felt like he couldn't do enough for his family, which I feel like for men is a thing. Like if you can't support your wife and your kids, you feel like you're a failure.
Yeah. And I think maybe part of that's just because as society, that's where we put that value. It's like for women, if you're not pretty, you don't feel like you have value. And that's just because society says that that's where your value is.
And that's just not true.
Yeah.
So he got so down and depressed. And he thought that, you know, the quickest way to make money, especially in North Carolina, and especially in this place, is selling drugs.
Yes.
So this is just a thing.
Yeah.
In little small towns like that, North Carolina.
It's everywhere.
It is everywhere. So he got into that.
Yeah.
So Stacy, when she found out, she was like, no, I don't want to have anything to do with this. And that's when they like super split up.
Yeah. And because they got a kid and everything. Yeah. You can't.
And but before this happened, the reason why she left is because Josh got a package delivered in the mail that had freaking mushrooms in it. He had them shipped to him. USPS. You cannot do that. I don't know if it was USPS, but he had psychedelic mushrooms shipped to his house. Can you do that?
Yeah.
You can?
I mean, who's going to check?
I don't know, but get on Amazon. So because it was delivered through the mail, it was a felony. So now he's got charges on him. So Josh is convicted. He goes to jail. And when he gets out, he can't find a job because now he's a convicted felon.
Yeah.
So now he goes right back into what he did before.
Yeah.
Which was selling drugs. I mean, that's how this whole system works.
Yeah.
You're trying to do good in life. One thing happens, you fall, you get down, you start doing something bad, you go to jail, you come out, you can't get your life together.
Yeah.
Because the system doesn't help you.
No.
I don't think it does anyway.
No. And the system's just set up to keep you down.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all it takes. I've like my mom always said, it takes one bad decision to end up in prison. Just one.
Yeah. And then the rest of your life's fucked.
And then the rest of your life, done.
Yeah. And your family. And it's just, it shouldn't be that way.
No, it shouldn't be that way. But it definitely is.
Yeah.
So in 2009, Josh disappears. So Stacy thought the reason why she could not get in contact with her ex-husband is because Josh cut off contact with her so that she wouldn't get involved in any sort of law enforcement kind of deal.
Yeah.
So that's why she thought Josh just went picking up the phone, because he didn't want to involve her in anything. So initially, she didn't say anything to the police about him missing. So Josh's mom becomes worried because he didn't call her on her birthday, which is something that he did every single year.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. Holiday went by, Christmases, no one heard from Josh. So Stacy finally reported him missing.
So he's missing for a while.
Oh, yeah. He was missing for, yeah. So he disappeared in 2009. I don't know what month. But she reported him missing in February 2010.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So he was, yeah, he was missing for a while. Sylvia LeBeau. I think that's what he's saying. Sylvia LeBeau was a resident of Winston-Salem, okay, which is, Clemens is in Winston-Salem, mm-hmm, for those who don't know. She was heavily involved in her local church. She said she was doing God's work. I don't know what that means. She was just doing God's work. She was out there praising Jesus. So until...
Does that pay? That's my question.
No. Well, spiritually.
Okay. You get...
Spiritually it pays.
You get heaven bucks?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Just a little Jesus face on it. until her path crossed with Pazuzu in the fall of 2009, just a few short months after Josh went missing. So when she first met Pazuzu, he told her that he was the gatekeeper of hell. Sylvia gave Pazuzu and one of his woman followers, his many woman followers, a ride home. When she saw the door of his house, a sense of dread came over her. She knew she did not want to be there. She wanted to go home. They asked her to stay and watch a home video of theirs. Hmm. So Sylvia was right around their age. She was a teenager, and she was really bringing it to her church. So she walked in with them.
So wait, did she know, like, does she have a relationship with them?
No. So
it's just like some random people she picks up and,
well,
they're so, like, hey, come in and watch this home movie.
They all kind of go to the same school. So everyone kind of knows everyone kind of sort of.
Are they in high school?
So some of the, he's older, but the girls are in high school. Oh. Yeah. So Sylvia gave him a ride home.
Okay.
She was like, I don't want to go in there, but she does. Don't do it if you don't want to.
I believe that was in probably her world words. Jesus saying, don't do it.
Yeah. But also as Christians,
yeah,
you, I guess, especially her, she's doing God's work. She wants to like.
Save them?
Maybe she wants to help them. Yeah. So yeah, she goes in. They're like, hey, watch this home video. And she's like, I don't want to. But they show it anyway. The video was of Pazuzu and Bubbles. Amber, our girl, yeah, Amber was talking about dancing around naked. Cute. Bubbles can be seen laying on a bed, pleasuring herself.
Okay.
And Sylvia said the video made her like super duper nauseous. So now they have like super porno movies going on here. And in one scene, Pazuzu had a knife and had on a bloody bandana. A bandana that they told Sylvia belonged to Josh Wetzler, the missing man. So, according to Pazuzu and his friends, they told Sylvia that they trapped Josh in a basement and they starved him for days. Hmm. Then they shot him and cut off his extremities, his legs, his arms, his penis, and buried him in pieces in his own backyard. So now they're basically telling everyone that they killed this missing guy. Another one of Pazuzu's friends was told that there was a person in the basement, and if they try to get out, don't let him leave. So in the documentary, they were talking to this guy, and the guy was like, yeah, we were partying one night and drinking, and he told me, you know, if someone comes out of this door, don't let him leave.
Yeah.
I would be like, I'm about to go down in there. I'm about to go down in there. I don't want to see what's down in there.
David really liked that guy.
That guy.
He was like, I would be friends with that guy.
So cool. So this documentary, it was the one of the reasons why I loved it so much is because I became really invested in these characters. Especially especially the
journalist guy.
I love the journalist guy. He looks like Hagrid from Harry Potter. But there was a boy or a man and a woman, and they lived together.
Oh, yeah.
And they were drug addicts.
Yeah.
And it kind of followed their story, and their story was so, it was their life. And the story was their life.
Yeah.
And I was almost a little bit more interested in their in their story than freaking Pazuzu. It was like, fuck Pazuzu. I want to see what happens to this couple right here. Because they were real. I mean, the first scene of them is them waking up.
And doing heroin, right?
And that's the first thing they did when they woke up is they were shooting up heroin.
On camera.
It was crazy. Camera.
Crazy.
And in his interviews, like, his pupils are like the size of a pinpoint.
Yeah.
Like you could tell he was.
Yeah.
Stoned or I don't know. I've never done heroin. I don't know what it's called.
I don't
know
either. But
he wasn't on this planet.
Yeah. It's crazy. I forgot how good that documentary was.
It was so good. Yeah. It was so good. So, okay. There's Tarina Billings was a neighbor of Pazuzu's. Tarina was at a party at Pazuzu's house when he said he had a body in the basement and it's covered in cat litter to keep the smell down. So now he's telling multiple people.
Yeah.
That he's got dead bodies up in his freaking house.
I feel like that happened. I feel like I hear that a lot.
The bodies like, in basements?
Well, no. Not personally. But like in the true crime like universe where people are like, they told me, but I didn't believe them.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and that's like, because your brain does not want to believe that is. That's why when people see dead bodies, their brain says mannequin.
Yeah.
Because their brain doesn't, they're like, I cannot process that this is
a
person dead right here. I just can't process that.
Yeah.
So on August 3rd of 2009, Tarina goes to Forsyth County Sheriff's Office.
Mm-hmm.
The sheriff goes over to Pazuzu's house, knocks on the door, and straight up was like, someone reported a murder in this house.
Oh, man, and I feel like that's not the way to do that.
He was like, nope, didn't happen here. And they asked him, is there a body in your backyard? And he said, no. So they left.
Oh.
What bullshit police officer. Fuck? I mean, did he not read the fucking note on the door?
Did he not smell anything?
Did you not smell his house?
Okay. Have you ever been pulled over by the cops and they've been like, I smell weed. I'm going to search your car now.
No, that's literally never happened to me.
Never happened to you?
No. I don't think that happens to everybody, Renee. No. I've been pulled over, but they've never sniffed my car.
No?
No, never.
That has happened to me a couple of times.
That's literally never happened to me before.
Okay.
No.
So, anyway, so the cops, you know, pull you over and they're smelling like... I smell weed. I'm going to search your car now. So it's so weird that like people describe going up to his house and like it smells like death. And a cop goes to his fucking house and isn't like, I smell death. I'm going to search your house now.
Oh, I get what you're saying. You're saying they do that just so they can search your car. Or are you saying your car actually smelled like weed?
I mean, I don't know, but it might have a little bit.
It is funny because they're like, I mean, if the way his house looked, I mean, if I was an officer, I'd be like, well, I just want to go in here because look at this fucking house. There's got to be some dead bodies under all this trash. Look at it. Huh. Okay. So that happened.
It's because he was white.
Yes, sorry, because he was white. Yeah, duh. It's because he was white. It was a black man. He'd be in handcuffs. There was also an anonymous tip that came through that said a man named Tazuzu. Close. Tazuzu shot and killed a man and buried him in the backyard. Again, the sheriff's office did nothing.
What the fuck?
They did nothing. What are they doing every day?
I don't know. I like the way you said bury, though.
What's that? What I say? Did I say buried?
You said buried?
Buried. Oh, I say buried. What is it buried?
Buried.
Bird. The bird in the backyard.
The way I say it sounds more wrong or seems more wrong because it is a U, not an A.
Buried. So our friend Sylvia
that
we talked about recently, she was over at the house having a party. She was over at Pazuzu's. He was having a party.
Wait, the good Christian girl?
The good Christian girl. Nope.
She went to the dark side.
She was like, I'm going to the party. So she was drinking, having a good time. I'm not going to be mad at her for that.
No.
When her friend was like, all right, it's time to go. I'll give you a ride home. Okay. So they were in the car. Sylvia started talking about Pazuzu and how he claimed to have killed a man named Josh. And her friend's face went like white as a ghost. And she said, "Have you met my friend, Stacy?" So.
Ooh, goosebumps.
Goosebumps, goosebumps. Sylvia and her friend concocted a plan that Sylvia would get an admission of guilt on recording. So they were playing like 007 shit right here, like setting it up. So she went to Pazuzu's house and asked one of his friends, Nate, which is the guy we were talking about earlier, if Pazuzu had ever killed anyone. And of course, Nate was like, everyone knows that he's killed someone. He's not like not saying, he's openly saying he's killed people. So Sylvia took this evidence. She took this evidence to the sheriff's office, and again, nothing happened. I hope that nothing ever happens to me in Forsyth County because they're not going to do shit.
Yeah.
Guys, come on, get it together. Ooh. Okay. So Sylvia, this is when Sylvia met with Stacy on her farm. Okay.
Okay.
And she also met Josh's son that day.
Aww.
And she said she had, it said in the documentary, she had an epiphany when she looked at his son's face. His dad was murdered and she knew the guy who did it.
Aww.
Yeah. So Stacy had no idea who Pazuzu was.
Your poor
iPad. Yeah. And your lights keep going dim. It's creeping me out. But she went to the cops and said, "You're gonna think I'm crazy, but I think my husband is buried in a guy's backyard in Clemens." But they didn't think she was crazy because a zillion people had already told them that. So Forsyth Sheriff's Office, they executed a search warrant at 2749 Knob Hill Drive in Clemens, North Carolina. I MapQuested it. There's a house there now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not his house. I think they... Yeah, demolished his house.
They were like, we can't fix this.
No, there's no way. They found no indication of a crime, even though there's, I don't know, poop stains, blood stains, glass. Their poor mother's locked up in the fucking closet.
I forgot about the mom.
For God's sakes, the mom's still there. The bitch is still in her bedroom. She ain't come out for years. God. Oh. But
I forgot about the mom.
Stacy was told they even brought out cadaver dogs. So apparently they brought dogs out there and nothing was found. But
it's probably an assault on the senses.
Well, yeah, because there's so many senses. They probably can't. It's just like a sensory overload or something. So after the search, you would think that Pazuzu and his minions would try and dial it back, but they don't. Their behavior starts to become more increasingly violent. Shortly after Pazuzu's house was like raided, Pazuzu is arrested for choking his mother. The poor mom. He choked his mom. And then Amber is arrested for slapping Pazuzu. And again, arrested for slapping Pazuzu's mom. They're just going around choking and slapping each other. Pazuzu starts recruiting people to join in on the violence. So he's becoming like, let's get more people into this like little cult thing I got going on.
So was there any sort of like name? You know, there's usually like names for their cults.
They never mentioned a name. I didn't come across anything in articles that I read. He should have come up. He should have branded himself. Duh.
I mean, I guess he was Pazuzu.
I guess so. Pazuzu's crew. Okay, so in October of 2010, 8 months after the failed search of his home, Pazuzu and his accomplice, Nick, are arrested for the murder of Joseph Chandler, a 30-year-old blind man.
What?
And, yeah, I think I'm going to... I got a little bit more, but I think this is a kind of a good place to stop.
Okay.
And next week we'll talk about that murder and we're going to talk about the downfall of Pazuzu.
In Forsyth County.
Bum, 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 bum. Yeah, Forsyth County, fuck off. What the hell are you doing? God, Forsyth County.
I feel like they are in some also shit, some more shit now.
Right now?
I think so.
God, all the counties around here are just in trouble for something.
Yeah, I feel like they...
What are they doing with their life?
Yeah, I feel like there's some issues with Marcus Smith or something.
Mm. All right, guys. That was our episode this week.
Woo!
Join us next week. We're going to do part two.
Rate us. On Apple Podcasts. I saw that there was like 33% of our listeners are on Apple Podcasts.
rate us.
Apple Podcast, if you listen and you don't freaking rate us,
just 5 stars. You don't have to do a, I mean, I would,
you
like,
don't even have to say nothing, just click a damn star.
do more than
preferably
one.
5 of them.
Yeah, but you could do one. Just be honest, be truthful,
but really, just do 5 of them. Follow us on Instagram. We'll put all the little goodies up, the visual goods. I've been really slacking on that lately. I got to get my life back together.
Good.
I watch Social Dilemma, and then I'm like, I don't want to be on Instagram. But then I want to see what's going on Instagram, because I want to show you guys all the stuff.
Hey, are you a social marketing genius? Do you love it?
Does someone out there want to help us with our social media so
help
I don't have to do
social
it?
Social media.
Yeah, I'm too old to be doing social media.
Also, if you're super annoyed by our ad that keeps on playing, give us money and we'll stop playing it.
Give us money and we won't have to play that ad. That's, sorry, Anchor. I love you, but God.
Yeah. We've made $4. $4.
If we do this until we're 80, we'll have like $20.
Yeah. Well, we can't take out any money until we get $10.
Oh my God. Can y'all help us get to $10 so we can take it out and get us a cheeseburger? Come on. All right, guys, we will see you next week.
Thank you for listening.
Your lights just went dim again.
I think it's electricity.
I think it's Pazuzu.
It's Pazuzu.
Bye.
Bye.